All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is July the 1st. Happy July 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We are jazzed, excited. God bless America. God bless this wonderful country. It's a shame that we have to have the 4th of July to remember what an amazing place we have, but it is what it is. And so I am excited. Just went down and saw my buddy Tyrone and picked up some fireworks down at the outlets and some meat. Excited. Hope everyone's been doing well. I've been doing okay. I haven't picked up a drink or a drug, but I have not been to many meetings. I have been running my mouth a bit. Went to, just got back, in fact, from Albuquerque, and it was amazing. My wife and I flew out there on Monday. Just wanted to go out for a few days and catch up with some friends. Somebody asked me, do you still have family out there? And I was like, I don't even have any family left. I got my brother and my dad. The rest of them are all gone. Godspeed. And but I do have a lot of friends out there, and it's really amazing that after all these years, after all the shit that I've put people through and gone through, that I still have people that love me. And it was great because it was fun to catch up. A lot of reminiscing. We've lost some of our friends, my buddy Scott, and some other people passed on, unfortunately, due to drugs and alcohol. I'm not sure. Oh, what's that sound? Oh, it's gone. Alcoholism, I guess. Drug addiction, yep. One of the shocking things is what's happened to Albuquerque. And, you know, it's a shame because Albuquerque was a great city. And it's still a great city, but the homelessness and the drug addiction issues that are going on in that state are unfortunate. I shouldn't say the state, in the city. Shocking. Shocking, shocking, shocking. Mediocrity is what it is, folks. And we should never, ever, ever, ever allow that to happen, period. There should be, you know, no homelessness, no drug addiction, right? In a perfect world. But it is what it is. And but it's a shame, man. And I shouldn't even say it is what it is because it's really tragic and they should do a better job. You know, we shouldn't put up with that kind of thing. And I'm, putting my neck out here, even saying anything about it, right? Because it's not fair anymore and all this stuff. But this is a systematic decision to... Actually, I was talking to a guy who said that he believes that it's a systematic decision to dumb down the town of Albuquerque. Marijuana has become legal there. And when we were there, there was a dispensary literally in every strip mall, every corner. And he said that he thinks that it's an attempt to dumb down the town. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I talked about how here in our town, we've slowly gotten a couple homeless people, right? And then we've gotten a tent city. I posted a thing on Facebook. I was called every name in the book. I'm such a bad person. I don't really care, right? I don't care. Because if someone doesn't say something, you know, in 5 years, we're going to have two tent cities and 20 or 30 homeless people, and we start to lose the character, the heritage of our town. We see it happening all over the world, unfortunately, through immigration. And I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry that people have it tough and people allow this. And you know, you get into these places and all of a sudden, you know, our neighbors have become the enemy, and it's really a tough time. But it is, you know, it happens. And the next thing you know, you see these countries losing the heritage of the country, and you see towns losing the heritage of the towns and the cities. When I came to this town, we were known for the boardwalk, pizza, crab cakes, and summer, right? And now we are known more for, I mean, those things are still kind of a thing, but now we're known really for traffic, the cost of living, and hopefully not for our tent city.
Jesse rides through the night under the main street light, riding slow. Ain't the same. Now nobody knows this name. Times have changed. Still he rides. Traffic lights keeping time.
Still They Ride. What a great song. Yeah, you know, this is not about politics. It's really about policy, unfortunately. And I don't understand, you know, I think everybody wants to help somebody. I believe in helping folks, right? And I think I'd got into this a few podcasts ago, and I'm not going to really get into it today. But I will say that, you know, sometimes we hide under words like affordability. And it's just, I think the difference between affordability and I can't afford it are real, right? And, there's sort of this sort of villainizing of people that can afford it. And because some people can and some people can't, the ones that can seem to be at fault. And that's just bizarre. But you know, what I wanted to talk about was accountability. You know, when I was a kid, and, you know, I hear all of this stuff, especially like in New York, you know, we can use socialism, whatever the word we want to use, democratic socialist. And the theme seems to be we want free stuff and we want, you know, rent freezing and all of these things. And I have been there. And honestly, listening to people talk about these things, I am like, why? You know, why is it? Because, listen, we're making it, but, you know, I don't know. There's always this part of me, right? This demon, right? That would love things to be easier and cheaper. But they aren't. And they are what they are. But I remember, right, as a kid, and, you know, one of the toughest things for me when I got sober was to become accountable. I was very, very playing the victim role. It wasn't fair. I remember when Obama came out and the affordable health care, and I was, you know, opened my own business and I could barely afford health care and they wouldn't cover pre-existing conditions. And it was really a trip, man. And when he started saying these no pre-existing conditions, I was all on board because I wanted my life easier. I wanted things cheaper, free maybe. You know, it was always the talk of free health care. But, you know, at some point in my life early on, I made a choice, a decision to do what it is that I wanted to do, which was skip school, hang out with my girlfriend, smoke pot, drink beer, and live that lifestyle. And, you know, luckily, somehow I ended up getting a GED past school, but the opportunities that lay ahead of me were minimal, minus the fact, or adding on the fact that I did drink and do drugs and partied and was unreliable. And so that made my choices even slimmer. And I remember, you know, I had a few jobs. I had a couple jobs in San Diego. I actually worked at Taco Bell and I actually enjoyed it. I know that sounds funny, but I had that job for a while. And then I don't know if I quit or got fired, but then I ended up doing a job refilling printer cartridges and got fired because I couldn't show up on time. Yada, and then got into the drug game, and then, of course, jail, and then, you know, the mass exodus out of California to Delaware, where then I just became a full-on 100% alcoholic. And I did have a job at a convenience store, which was miserable, the graveyard shift. I would drink in the morning. It was just the bottom of my life. And then finally getting a job on a golf course. And I had to be to work early, but, you know, the good alcoholic I was, I'd show up on time, no problem. And then, of course, finally getting sober, picking a career. You know, I've shared about this many times. You know, decided to be a superintendent, go to Rutgers, you know, not really thinking it through, but doing it, right, completing it. Best grades I ever got in my life. You know, A's all through all my courses. It's amazing. Take the alcohol, the drugs, and the self-centeredness out of me, and I'm actually really capable of doing great things in my life, right, for me. And then, of course, you know, getting a superintendent's job and then, you know, realizing four years into my recovery that it was all just self and then picking back up. But the point of all that is that, you know, we have, it seems to, and I have said it before, people have said it to me, so I know I'm not the only person thinking it, but there has been a real, so I have three kids. I actually have a stepdaughter, and when my stepdaughter was at all of my kids have gone to the same school, the same elementary school and the same high school, middle school and high school, all of them, all four of them. And my oldest stepdaughter, who is now in her 20s, two, three kids, wonderful, wonderful young lady, wrote me an amazing letter about on Father's Day. Just really, really grateful for that. And, but her going through elementary school and middle school and high school and the tone of those schools. And then as my kids and then the pandemic and then this new version. And I will say that when my stepdaughter went through the school, the reputation was this school has too much homework. It's too hard because the parents, unfortunately, were sitting with their kids doing the homework with them and they were becoming inconvenienced. So it was like, listen, if you don't want a lot of homework, don't send your kids to this school. That's just, you know, the condensed version of it. And then we had the pandemic and we, you know, and my oldest son, he went through the same school. He had a lot of homework. And now my two younger kids, you know, they have no homework. Something changed. Now, I know there were too many complaints of the homework, and that was a part of the thought, but a real change has happened. And my kids are bright. I would say they're pretty smart, but they are definitely not held to the same accountability as the other two kids were. And then I start to sort of feel like there's this, I don't know, kind of a dumbing down of our country, you know? The guy in Albuquerque said, this is the dumbing down of our town, opening all these pot places. And then I'm like, is this the dumbing down of our whole country? How crazy would that be? Why? Why would we do that? Well, unfortunately, in like my life, my opportunities became less. And when I couldn't find a job because of my behavior in my past, I had needed more help. Thank God for my parents. You know, I got into some argument with a great friend of mine, and she really badmouthed me because I had the help of my parents. Your parents helped you so much. And I was like, yeah. And I, you know, I was proud that my parents helped me, but at the same time, you know, it did hit a nerve, man. I did, you know, it's a shame. My parents had to help me as much as they did for as long as they did. And I appreciate it, but it's, you know, I'm a little embarrassed by it. she's not wrong. So I'm just like, what is going on? And now we have a lot of young people. And if you're, you know, listen, if you're a successful person that doesn't drink or drug, you're probably not listening to this podcast. But it does seem to me that we have a lot of people now that are struggling with jobs. Jobs are changing, right? Careers are changing. And a lot of people want help. And I get it. And then we have these new people showing up, these socialists who have all these ideas. Free stuff, right? No government, no cops, no borders. I don't know. Is that the solution? I wonder, you know. I personally do not think that is the solution. I think that is a very bad idea. But there are people that really think that that's a good idea. And it's weird. It's very strange. So we live in a great, very interesting time right now. But I think this has been repeated a few times, right? This is just par for the course. It's just my time to watch it. You know, I'm grateful for I get a job. You know, I'm not the, you know, I'm a hairdresser, right? So I said, so I posted something about this and somebody posted, you know, somebody came after me and said, look at this hairdresser. I was like, yeah, you're right. I should just shut up. But I'm not going to. And it's just crazy, man. It's crazy. And, you know, and it's important for me. Like, usually I try to keep my opinions to myself. But it just took me back, man. It just reminded me of my journey. And I'm just a, like a litmus test of what happens when a person like myself has no accountability, doesn't care, gets himself all the way down to the bottom. Luckily for me, I had parents that helped me. Not everybody does. And not every parent wants to help. You know, I shared how my dad had to finally let my brother go. And then he found success. But I always hated to struggle. And, you know, clearly under the influence of alcohol and drugs, I really was not in my right mind. But when the fog finally started to clear, I was like, I want better. And today, you know, we do pretty good. But, you know, I could say right now, I haven't been to a lot of meetings. I don't feel like picking up a drink. I have my recovery is in a little bit of a disarray right now, but it is summer. That's not an excuse, but I'm going to use it because that seems to be the thing that's sort of screwing me up right now is just hanging out with the family and working, and the traffic here is so bad that I haven't ventured out too far. And then, of course, the trip and stuff. But I need to get back into the meetings. I talked to a guy I sponsor. I haven't talked to him for a couple weeks. Talked to him yesterday. He didn't have the, you know, wasn't that pleasant. I don't know what he's going through. I know what he's going through, but, you know, usually he's a little more. I asked him if he wanted to get together on Sunday. He said, he's busy. And I said, okay, no problem. So, you know, everything's a little bit in the disarray right now, but, you know, summer will eventually come to an end, and we got to get back to a regularly scheduled program. But I do miss meetings, and it's funny, and I've shared this before, when I was sick and didn't go to a meeting for a couple weeks, you know, I start to feel a little intimidated walking back into the room, right? And, you know, and those are just spirits again. They're just doing their magic and trying to keep me from that building and that lifestyle. But I'll get back. You know, but is it, you know, is this like a thing, right? Is this a thing all over the world? You know, when all this sort of started, I guess we could just say, like, when, you know, Trump became president and he started pointing out a lot of things about immigration and borders, which is always a touchy subject, right? Because we all have friends. I personally can tell you, I do not know anybody that has been deported. And I have a lot of friends, Spanish, Mexican, and I don't know anybody that's been deported that I know of. And we actually have a big community of Spanish or Mexicans that live here. And yeah, I don't know anybody that's been deported. I'm sure some have. That's a shame. But But it's a real, you know, I remember early on and everybody's like, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. But you see a lot of countries now really, and it's all about the heritage. And I, you know, some of these things, even when Trump was a running for president, and I, you know, I've shared, I did not like him. And I thought all you had, all you thought about was the border. And I was like, it's no big deal. Well, it turns out it was. And now we're starting to see a lot of other countries that are feeling the same thing. And it's all about the heritage. And then I started thinking about our town, and then, you know, then I started thinking about me, right? What is my heritage? For a long time as an alcoholic and drug addict, my heritage was I was an alcoholic and a drug addict. Adopted alcoholic drug addict problem. And for a long time, that's what I was known for. You know, when my parents would have parties and their friends would come over, you know, there had been discussions privately without me knowing about how I was doing. And everyone sort of always looked at me with a concerned look because I was that guy. And I remember when I started to get sober and people started to, you know, pay attention and root for me. And I started to recreate who the person I was. It took a long time to turn the ship, but that ship was headed to a bad place. My buddy always says, you know, you're just rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. Well, that's what I kept doing. I was rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, but the unfortunate end was I was going to be sinking. And it wasn't until I found this program that I started to understand, right, what my problem was, what the issues were, and the spiritual battle, and, you know, what my issue, what I thought was, is that really it turns out I got caught too much, right? I came to this program because I got caught too much. It wasn't because I wanted to get sober or fix any of my problems. It was just because I was pushed in a corner. But luckily, the program stuck by me, and I stuck with it, and I started to learn, and I started to recreate who I was. Who am I? I didn't even know. Right? I went from a young 12, 13-year-old kid who knows nothing to start trying to smoke pot and sip beers. And from that point, I was just a slave to the grind and never really learned who I was. And it wasn't until I found this program and worked these steps that I started to learn who I was and, you know, the good sides and the bad. And was able to start addressing them. And I could stop being that guy that was just labeled as, you know, a burden on my parents, uneducated, doesn't give a shit about anybody but himself, and start to work on it and start to recreate the person I was or am today, right? You know, I got this amazing, you know, letter from my stepdaughter on Father's Day, really just thanking me. You know, her father, unfortunately, was just like me. You know, and of course, his wife, my ex-wife, my stepdaughter's mom, it's a lot of different paths there, but, you know, had to leave him because of his drinking. And I would get called, you know, can you check on him? And I found him, you know, behind a pile of bottles, and, you know, it was really bad. And always trying to help him, give him a hand, whatever it was. And then, unfortunately, he died from this disease. And my stepdaughter, of course, just devastated. But, you know, always having me in the background as a person that was always there for her. And one thing about people that get sober, and I'll say it, you know, for myself, it's been pretty steady, right? You know, there's been some little bit of highs and a little bit of lows, but nothing too high and nothing too low. It's been pretty even par. And turns out that's what kids like. You know, kids like to wake up and see you wake up and make your coffee and sit in your chair and do what it is you do, but on a consistent basis, right? They don't like to wake up to missing cars, missing parents, you know, broken teeth, no money, foreclosure, rent, no rent, whatever it is that my life used to have, and it that isn't around. And she really appreciated that, and she wrote me this like 3-4-page letter telling me how much she appreciated it. And I was really grateful because without the 12 steps of this program, I wouldn't have had it, and I wouldn't have been able to be there for her. And so, yeah, I'm I haven't been doing the podcast lately because I've been busy, and I might start a new podcast on growing grass for lawns. I'm really into that right now. I love taking care of my lawn and my house, and I know a lot about it, so I may start a podcast. You know, won't be on recovery, that's for sure. Recovering your lawn, maybe, but that's about it. All right, let me read the daily reflections. I got to go to the dentist, and you know, get on with the day. I went and bought the fireworks. I'm so excited for this weekend. All right. The best for today. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. That's true. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 60. Just a sculpture will use different tools to achieve desired effects in creating a work of art. In Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps are used to bring about results in my own life. I do not overwhelm myself with life's problem and how much more work needs to be done. I let myself be comfortable in knowing that my life is now in the hands of my higher power, a master craftsman who is shaping each part of my life into a unique work of art. By working my program, I can be satisfied knowing that I'm doing the best that we can for today. We are doing all that God asks of us. That's right. Yeah, that's today's daily reflection. The principles we have set down are guides to progress, and I agree. Yeah, I hope everyone's doing well. I hope everyone has a great 4th of July. This was definitely a big drinking day, weekend, all of it. A lot of shame and guilt back in those days. And I know that there will be a lot of people waking up with shame and guilt. You know, as I get older, I'm 57 now, and I know a lot of people around me, and I can see, you know, this is sort of that age where the maintenance drinking, you know, it becomes tough. There's people in my life that I see that, you know, that drink, and I just know that it is, it can be painful. And so I'm rooting for all those people, and but listen, happy 4th of July. God bless America, and I hope everyone has a great day. Bye-bye.